Each year, over 500,000 kids spend time in foster care across the U.S., and making sure they're well taken care of takes a village. I'm Erin Lindstrom, and this is Foster Care Aware, a production brought to you by Tidewater Friends of Foster Care. If you've had it on your heart to become a foster parent, a volunteer, donor, advocate, or just want to learn more, you're in the right place. This episode of Foster Care Aware is brought to you by Connect with a Wish, a Virginia Beach-based nonprofit that works to connect the wishes and needs of children in foster care with the generosity of our community. By working together, Connect with a Wish provides clothing, birthday packages, holiday events, support groups, and so much more for kids in foster care. Connect with a Wish receives donations of everything from gently used clothing and household items to cake mix, chapstick, as well as monetary contribution, which allows for community members of all economic standings to be able to participate in improving the lives of youth in foster care in our community and creating a ripple effect of foster care awareness. To learn more and get involved, you can check them out on Facebook and or head to their website, connectwithawish.org. Welcome back to Foster Care Aware. I am your host, Erin Lindstrom, and I am joined by Audra Bullock, the founder and director of Tidewater Friends of Foster Care.
Hi there.
And today we have two special guests with us. We have Mary McGowan of Attach.
Hello. Hi there.
And Joy Rios from Connect with a Wish.
Hey, good afternoon.
Yay. Thank you so much for being with us today. I am so excited for this conversation. We were joined by both of you last year for Foster Care Aware, and so I'm super excited to have a dynamic conversation this year where it's a little bit more of a roundtable style, and we get to kind of play off of each other. So to kind of kick us off, would you please share a little bit about yourself and your organization with our viewers? So Mary, will you kick us off?
I'd love to, Erin. Thanks. So I'm Mary McGowan. I am the executive director for Attach, which is the Association for Training on Trauma and Attachment in Children. We're located in Minneapolis, but we serve nationally and internationally on issues around developmental trauma and attachment, parent support, and many other training areas. Personally, I have been a foster parent for 28 years. I adopted 5 children from foster care, and I am down to 1 at home, which is kind of unusual. So that's a little bit about me. My background is in clinical psychology and counseling, but I really like to come to these conversations with my foster parent hat on, if you will.
Incredible. Thank you for sharing. Joy, do you want to tell us a little bit about you and your organization?
Sure. I am Joy Rios. I am the executive director and founder at Connect with a Wish. We're now in our 7th year, which is amazing to me that we're still going and rolling. But I'm grateful that we are working with the foster care community in Virginia Beach, and we've expanded some of our programs to some of the surrounding cities. Personally, I have 3 adopted children. Oldest is 21, and that was my introduction into foster care 21 years ago when she was placed in foster care at birth, and we adopted through that route. And planted the seed about wanting to learn more about foster care, so when the time was right, we did such, and eventually came our baby of Connect with a Wish.
That's incredible. Thank you, Joy. So kids who come into foster care need more than just a bed. They need an opportunity to thrive. From your perspective, can you share with us what kids need and the best way to meet those needs? Mary?
Well, what comes to mind initially is thinking about letting them come with their identity. So it's so easy when they come into our homes that we want to kind of change them and have them fit into what we think. And it's so important that we allow them the opportunity to tell us about them, their backgrounds, their, you know, ethnicity, their habits, just anything that is a part of them, the food they like, what they like to wear, how they like to do their hair. It seems basic to us, but it's really something that we miss, particularly with transracial adoptions, where our children and youth that come into care lose everything. And if we can help them keep their identity, then I think we're starting on a really solid foundation.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Joy, what are your thoughts around that?
That was great. And as we all know, there's so many needs in foster care. And from what I see, one of the things that is definitely missing is continuity of the same people and the same support systems. We all know that not only the foster parents change, the social workers change, the therapists change. There's so much change all the time for these kids. They become accustomed to just living that way. And I think because of that, they lose some of that dream and hope of an actual permanent placement or permanent anything. You know, they're so used to living that way. So at Connect with a Wish, we like to keep a lot of the same faces and the same people here. And after 7 years of this, we can see them light up when they see that same adult that they've been describing, trying to figure out what was her name? What was her name, Miss Joy, you know, or whoever it was with the youth groups and things like that. It really makes a difference for them to be able to come back to that same face and be able to share, talk about whatever the situation is. So I do think that structure of seeing and having some of the same people in their life means a lot.
Yeah, for sure it does. It's almost the sense of belonging, right? And unfortunately, the foster care system isn't always set up to create an environment where children can settle in and belong. So I think that's tremendous. And I love that you guys do that for them, external to a family.
It's interesting to me, the idea of belonging. And Mary, what you were saying about really kind of respecting and being curious about the child's identity and how they identify, right? And really like respecting that. I think for many people, it's almost counterintuitive, right? We think of belonging as you're just like us, you're part of the family. And what I'm hearing you say is like actually taking the time to learn about the person who's entering your family unit, right?
That's it, exactly. Instead of, I think we unintentionally assimilate them. We want to make them like us. And, you know, it doesn't work. Everyone has their own culture. Even if they go to the same church, have the same ethnic background, all of those things, we still bring our own culture. And then when you look at transracial placements, it's even more imperative that we really look at how that plays out and how we can help that child identify, be curious. What do they like? What do they want to do? You know, what are their joys so that they can come in and feel like they're not trying to fit into our mold, but we are trying to find out who they are and we adjust. We don't expect the child to adjust. We, as the foster parents, are the ones that need to make that adjustment.
That's such a good point, Mary, about us adjusting. These children are often demanded to adjust too much, right? There are the assimilation, you're right, but on a daily basis, instead of putting them in situations where they can be successful when they're scared to death and they act out, we tell them again, they have to adjust to be able to fit in. So I love that, hammering that point home, is it's the adult's responsibility. It's the parent's responsibility to adjust. And that includes the environment and our own mindsets to be able to meet the needs of these kids.
Yeah. I would love to know a little bit more too. Like, how does that connect when we're talking about attachment in general, right? And we're trying to create healthy attachments. How does identity and kind of holding space for that work in conjunction with or lead us closer to attachment?
Well, I think it's huge because it shows, first of all, it shows a respect. They see that you're respecting them, that you want to know them. It will help build that relationship. And in order for attachment to happen, where a child or youth actually feels that someone has their back, they may come into your home and no one has ever had that. They don't trust one single adult. So by building that relationship and foundation, you're automatically setting up to start building a healthy attachment with them.
Yeah. And you know, one of the things I think I love about Connect with a Wish is, Joy, you do this for these kids. Can you tell us a little bit about how you meet those needs for kids?
Well, I had a thought in my head and now I have to switch it. But to piggyback off something that Mary was saying real quick with, and for new foster parents coming in, you know, it's when she says that about asking, finding out about the kids, and yes, we all do that. But for a kid who's been in the system a while, they know how to answer those questions to keep it surface steady. Mm-hmm. I think you all can agree with that. So they know that they just want to make that foster parent happy to try to fit in. So when you're asking those questions as a new foster parent coming in, you really got to dig and really work it, because a lot of times for kids who've been around the block, they already know what to say or what you want to hear. Let's put it that way. What they think you want to hear. They think you may just be that same parent that's just trying to keep it surface and make you fit into their environment. So that's just one of the things when she was talking was hitting in my head. I've heard kids come back to me and say this, you know, we know what to say. we know what they want to hear. So I just give them what they want to hear. I mean, they've come out and said that as teens. So, you know, it's a little harder to get past that surface and really find out who they are and, you know, let them be them and let them know that they can be them. So, but sorry about that. I had to get that out.
No, it's great. So when kids, one of the things you do as an organization is you have like youth groups for kids in foster care. Is that right? So when they, I imagine like the first time they come to a group, how do you sort of help build that trust or like open it up? You know what I mean? How does that work?
So we just had this discussion earlier today in an interview, how the youth groups came about. And years ago, we had a little seminar before youth groups for girls with Manners and Glamour. We didn't really know what to expect. We were just getting our feet wet with this. And we had about 10 girls, teenagers come in and we watched. We had somebody else direct this little show, and they came in and they talked about different things that are important, self-esteem. And she did one thing where she put a little garbage can in the middle of the table and had all the kids put something in there that they wanted to get rid of in their life and put it in the garbage can. And then they said, you don't have to share, but if you'd like. And that's all it took. And we watched those girls share their common history, their stories, shed tears, and really bond, because the thing is, they don't really get that time with each other outside of independent living meetings, which, you know, they're not going to get private and open up. So we saw, after whatever six sessions that was, we looked at each other, you know, my vice president and I were like, okay, we see this need. So the girls were, that last day when they were leaving, they were devastated to leave each other. When would we see each other again? You know, so they really saw, you know, that commonality in each other. And relationship building, because that's what they struggle with from moving so much. So at youth groups, they build relationships and they put a little bit of that wall down because they know who the company that they're around and the population of people in that room. So the youth groups have been, I think, one of the best things that we've done, because even though we don't have, you know, 40 kids at a youth group meeting, that 10 to 20 kids that do show up every month, they are building and learning and growing from month to month without question.
Yeah. Wow. Amazing. It's that sense of belonging again. And I can't say it enough. These kids have unique experiences that if you haven't been involved in the foster care system, or you haven't been in the foster care system, let's even say it that way, it's very hard to understand. It's very hard to think about all of the unintended consequences that this system imposes on these kids. For example, I had a friend of mine who is from the foster care system, totally detached from basically anybody, who wanted to buy a car, and he can't find anybody to co-sign for him. He's not old enough to, or, you know, still doesn't have the income where a parent would normally do that. He doesn't have anybody. So these kids share those kind of common struggles, and it bonds them. It gives them a sense of you know, camaraderie, I guess, and a space to heal, as long as there are people like you, Joy, and you, Mary, that are accommodating to create that and hold that space for them. So Mary, can you share a story about a time when there was an emotional need that was identified and met, you know, something more deep than just the basics that you were aware of?
Right. Well, you know, I think of in my own situation as a foster parent, and over the years having placements, and I kind of go all in everything I do. And so I was neglecting my own self-care and not taking care of myself necessarily, but I wasn't aware of that. And I had a placement of a baby, and she was with us 11 months, and they basically said, you'll be adopting her. She's a part of your family. They let us take pictures and things of her in our Christmas cards. And long story short, she ended up being reunited. And I was so, you know, sad and just let down by that situation, and, you know, maybe by the system a little bit. You know, those words that workers, we hope, don't say anymore, and that is, you know, oh, this is a shoe-in, or, you know, you're that type of thing. But as a parent, I tried to jump back in, and I realized that I was ignoring my own needs, and that I really needed to stop and say, you know what, Mary, it is okay to take a break from placements, you know, to take care of myself. And, you know, the need was deeper and it was building, but I didn't really see it and understand it because I was just going all in for the children and youth until I realized that I wasn't meeting my own needs. I'm out telling other people how to meet their needs and what they need to do for self-care. And I had to take a step back and say, you know, I'm not taking care of myself. I can no longer tell other people to do it until I start caring for myself. So, you know, I think it's important from day one that you set the groundwork and that you know that you have to take care of yourself and take time for yourself in order to really be complete and whole and offer children and youth as much as you can give.
I love that. And I think it's so important and something that we kind of talk about all the time is this idea of self-care. Would you mind sharing like a strategy that you use or like, what does that mean tangibly for people who may be listening and like, oh yeah, I know I need more of that, but
how do
next,
I do
you know what I mean? And then we go back to our to-do list. Like, what does that look like?
Well, for me, before as a single parent, when all five were home, I couldn't leave. My children were pretty high special needs and I wasn't able to find people necessarily to come over and watch them all. So I found things within the home, you know, if it's like, if I could have somebody come over for an hour, but you know, and I go and I take a bath, which sounds so basic, but it is my getaway. It still is to this day. So because I can just become immersed physically and you know, spiritually and really take some time, but still be there. So I would try to do things like that. I would try to do things, you know, when the house was full of children, I used to always play whatever game they wanted to, watch whatever movie they wanted to, have whatever dinner they wanted to have. And so it was like, you know what, it's mom's turn. And they'd be like, what? And it's like, because it's like, I'm doing so many things and a lot of them, to be honest, I wasn't that big on. And so I was doing it and it was starting to frustrate me. So it's like, you know what? What's something that I want to do? I want to go to a pumpkin patch. I want to go on a hayride. And they're like, really? It's like, yeah, let's go, you know? And so we built that in. It's a little different now that I'm down to one teen at home and I have more flexibility. So I build into my schedule at least every other weekend and sometimes every weekend to get together with somebody or go do something. You know, now that my closest friends, we all have the COVID shot, you know, and we're semi-safe. We still wear a mask and things, but so I build in time. I treat it like an appointment and I build in that time for myself. I also attend some support groups so that I am being fed and being around other people that go, oh, I know, can you believe it? And you start sharing. And as you said earlier, Audra, you realize how much you have in common, the children have in common, the parents do as well. So many things when you're isolated and you're not taking care of yourself, it's just too easy to think that, you know, there's nobody else going through what you're going through. So, you know, sometimes it's basic things depending on your situation. And then if you get lucky enough where your youth can, you know, stay home for a couple hours alone, then go do something and have fun and leave everything else checked at the door.
Yep. I think that's so important. And it's so interesting too, because when we're talking about connection and really providing for these kids, we're so focused on what are we providing and what are we doing for them? And you just make a brilliant point that is like, what are you doing for yourself so that you have the capacity to do that? And I think that's really thinking like beyond the surface level of just all of the things on the list and how do we actually make it so we energetically have the room and space to take care of other people. So thank you for that. Joy, I'm wondering, can you share a story with us around, you know, connection and working with youth through Connect with a Wish?
Sure. So we work directly with the social workers from the cities on a lot of like our wishes or requests, whatever comes through. It usually comes through them, or if it comes through a foster parent, then we go, you know, back around through a social worker. And on more than one occasion, I can think of where a child not only had the original trauma of what brought them into foster care, but then while in care has another crisis, say a birth parent passed away or then became incarcerated, and they'll call and they'll be like, we have got to get this child a distraction. So one particular one I can remember is, you know, giving them an activity that they didn't have before. So Taekwondo, you know, something like that. Or we've had some kids go to dance lessons, and we've had contact with foster parents after that who were like, they even out. I think just that attention to be put somewhere else other than themselves and what's happening to them, and giving them an outlet, and actually for the first time learning how to use an outlet. You know, they talk about it in therapy and things like that, but to actually have that has made a big difference in a lot of kids that I've seen. And the other thing was already that I talked about, at the youth groups, is where you definitely during a youth group meeting can see a need and can see it almost mend itself amongst the other kids and maybe with the adults in the room. So those are two things that we see on a pretty normal basis that we can do. You know, of course, then there's the actual needs of needing things, but emotional needs, that's where my mind goes to first.
That's really great, Joy. And I like to kind of reiterate to the audience that normalcy and these activities that most kids get to do, our foster youth don't always get to do them. And so having that opportunity to put away the therapy and draw a therapeutic value from Taekwondo, I think is beautiful. And it's hard to measure that. And so it doesn't get a whole lot of support, you know, out there. But I think it is so crucial that these kids have those opportunities, because just like you said, it not only relieves stress, it also puts them in contact with other healthy adult relationships. And that is really important, mm-hmm. because, you know, it only takes one to change the whole life of a child, is a one healthy adult relationship, but we don't get to pick that. They do. And so we've got to put them in front of all of these different opportunities.
Mm-hmm. It's so interesting, because as we talk about creating like full lives for kids in foster care, what I'm like hearing throughout this is that it's really about creating space. And like listening seems to be a theme, right? Whether we're creating communities or creating families, all of that is like giving the child space to really show up and be themselves and to meet them there. And I just appreciate that so much, hearing from both of you. So if you are listening, both of these organizations, Attach and Connect with a Wish, are incredible. And I highly suggest you go check them out. To learn more about Connect with a Wish, you can call, if you are local in the 757, 757-337-2657, or visit connectwithawish.org. And Mary's organization, Attach, can be found at attach.org. And their phone number is 612-861-4222. And because it's 2021, everyone's on Facebook. So check them out. Make sure that you do reach out. And there's always just this reminder of this takes a village. And Joy, I appreciate you bringing that community perspective, right? And Mary, you really bringing the home perspective here. And so I just would encourage anyone who's listening to kind of check in with yourself right now and ask, okay, there are different ways I can become a part of the solution here. What does that look like? What is that next step? And go ahead and reach out and make connections, because there are so many incredible people doing the work to make a difference. So thank you so much for being here, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you so much. And a big thank you for listening. Foster Care Aware is all about getting the word out about how you can support the kids in care in whatever capacity works for you. And Tidewater Friends of Foster Care is here to support you through the journey. To learn more, head over to fostercareaware.org, where you can join our digital community of Friends of Foster Care and learn more about how you can provide a birthday or holiday gift for a child in care as one of our gift sponsors, stay in the know about upcoming trainings, and help meet the needs of current foster parents and youth as they arise. Whether you want to be a foster parent, volunteer, donor, or advocate, head on over to fostercareaware.org to learn more.